Don, I hope you're doing well.
I am doing very well, staying very warm. Mr. Stewart, yourself?
Good job. I'm also doing well. Ho-hum, Groundhog Day, Alabama's number one in the country.
Yeah, it kind of seems like it's been a while, though, hasn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah,
look,
it really
it's
does.
It's been all since, like, last year.
I know, but it's been all of this year. It's been very odd.
You're
right. You see them somewhere along the line become number one, and it's like, wow, this is kind of weird. Alabama's number one again. But you know what? For the first time all season long, and as long as we've been talking about these rankings, I finally think they deserve it. Up till this past game, I wasn't among those that thought they belonged even in the playoff, at least not up till this point.
Right.
Because I just didn't think that they were much of a complete team. But the way that the Tide defense has been playing, to me, is the best defense in the country. The way that Blake Sims is maturing, the offense still has a ways to go, the running game specifically. But I think they definitely deserve to be in that four-team conversation. I'm not sure they're the number one team in the country, but I don't know if there is a number one team in the country, and that's why I'm okay with them being number one.
Well, let me ask you, other than the outcome, what specifically did you see Saturday that changed your mind?
Oh, by far the defense. And it's been building. It started, I guess the Texas A&M game, but I wasn't convinced because it was Texas A&M. Same thing with Tennessee, but I was impressed they were able to do that on the road. But when they went to LSU and shut down LSU and Fournette in that group, and then followed it up by shutting down Prescott, I was impressed. So the defense by far has me convinced that they belong in that conversation. I like the way that Blake Sims is. You could just see him kind of growing up here, getting comfortable in the role. When they need a big play, he makes a big play, be it with a pass more often than not, with a run. So that's what has me thinking this team can definitely play for a championship. I'm not sold on the running game, and I still can't believe Alabama doesn't have a running game, because that's been the staple of Nick Saban's football teams. But they're not running the football all that well, and that's going to have to get fixed if they're going to play for a championship.
I think they really missed their change of pace guy in Kenyon Drake and are very hopeful Tyron Jones late can maybe become that. But back to what you were saying on the defensive side, I agree with all of what you said. And yet I think it's a credit to Mississippi State that we use the phrases like shut them down, slow them down, all of this, and yet they still had 428 yards of total offense against Alabama.
Right. No question about that. And you knew if they were going to win it, and every player around Alabama had talked about it, if they were going to beat it, they had to stop Dak Prescott. Well, they did it. That dude couldn't run. He could pass at times, but not when he really needed to. So I was convinced. Now, going back to what I said earlier, I don't think, Chris, there is a number one team in the country. This is a year. There is not a dominant, boy, that team is definitely the one to beat right there. That team just does not exist out there. Every team has their flaws without question. The one I probably know the least about, and I think a lot of people around the country could probably say this, at least in this part of the country, is Oregon, just because we don't see them all the time. Or if we do, we're either half asleep or half drunk.
It depends on which half you're talking about.
That's right. So I'm not completely sold on what it is that Oregon has. I'm going to need to see some more. I thought maybe Arizona State was a team that would fit in there. But I watched their game completely sober, completely awake this past weekend when they lost to Oregon State, blew that lead. I thought, oh, my God, this team can't win a championship. So that team, and I'm still not a Florida State believer. Heck no, you can't keep getting down like that against competition that isn't even ranked in most cases and think you're going to do it against ranked teams in a neutral site.
Let me ask you, where Florida State's concerned, is it a deal when you watch them that you're more concerned that they're going to screw something up on the field or that they're going to screw something up off the field that will wind up messing them up on field? Does that make any
sense?
Well,
with this team, I don't think anything they do off the field affects them on the field. I think they're just knuckleheads, and I don't think it bothers them. For some reason, everybody within that administration and coaching staff feels the need to enable a lot of these guys who are getting in trouble off the field. So I don't think it affects them when they get on the field. But when they're on the field, something just isn't right with this football team. Yeah, they make the big plays when they seemingly need, but they haven't played an Alabama yet. They haven't played an Oregon yet. They haven't played a dominant, strong, well-rounded football team. They're playing ACC teams. Let's see what happens when they play an SEC team. And if they win that, I'll be the first one to say, boy, they deserve it.
Don Hawes, our guest, sports director at Alabama's 13. You see him not only on the anchor desk, but also hosting Alabama Tonight, which airs weeknights beginning at 6:30. He appears, only he appears courtesy of the T-Town Bud Girls hotline.
Great, great, great follow on Twitter.
Great follow on Twitter, indeed. A couple of things. Florida now searching for a new head coach. Will Muschamp probably in very good shape career-wise going forward. He'll be a coordinator somewhere next year, probably in the SEC even. But went out in a very classy way, I thought. What do you think is going to happen with him, first of all? And then your thoughts on where you think Florida may end up going.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he'll wind up as a defensive coordinator. You know, you blow your first head coaching job. Essentially, that's what he did. Although they had some injuries to quarterbacks, and that's going to derail any coaching tenure. But, you know, he came from the Big 12, so he's not necessarily a lock to go back to the SEC as a coordinator. However, if somebody from Auburn has not already called his people to say, whatever you need, we've got, and we're going to bring you back to Auburn, they're out of their minds. And I would assume that they have made that call, because the Auburn defense is such a mess, and they need a coordinator bad. And, boy, if you put Will Muschamp's defense with Gus Malzahn's offense, look out for the rest of the SEC, because that could be a very dangerous combination. So, you know, I know South Carolina needs a defensive coordinator. My bet would be that he heads towards Auburn, but I don't know if he wants to go back. You know, I don't know if he wants to go back to the future, so to speak. If, you know, been there, done that. Yeah. I don't know the way his mind works. As for Florida, I don't know. You know, I keep hearing that they're interested in the Marshall head coach. I know they're going to get a head coach. They're not going to get a coordinator. They seemingly learned their lesson with Will Muschamp. They need a guy who has been there and done that in terms of running an entire program and doing the recruiting and everything that goes with being a head coach. The Dan Mullen thing, I think that's off the table. Hugh Freeze is going to get a big pay raise out of this deal, which is really nice. Some guy screws up his job and loses, and you get a raise. Wouldn't you love to have a job like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not just a raise. I mean, a big, fat, million-dollar-a-year at least raise. That would be nice.
That wouldn't stink in the least. And living.
So I hear they're going after you know, one of the guys on the list is this Marshall head coach, but I think Florida can do better than the Marshall head coach. But he does have Florida ties. He was on the Florida coaching staff when Urban Meyer was there, so he at least has an in with the administration and Jeremy Foley over there. So that'll be one of the names that pop up.
And I will say, the last time they hired a coach from Marshall, it was about 20 years ago, and it worked out well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
I know.
Billy Donovan.
Okay, Billy Donovan.
Different sport. Different sport, but it worked out well.
It did work out well.
Billy the Kid came in from Marshall, and it's worked out pretty good.
But, right, at Florida, would they be comfortable being Florida, being in the SEC, going after a coach from Conference USA? Do they think they're bigger than that? I'm curious.
The deal. Before they were, I hear what you're saying.
I mean, Billy Donovan was basketball. Basketball is basketball. We're talking football.
You're right. But they hired Urban Meyer from Utah now, and it wasn't in the Pac-12 when they hired him.
That's a good point.
I think that's
why you're the host.
I just know Jeremy Foley is a guy that can make. This is obviously a huge hire for him, but because anytime you're hiring the coach at Florida or one of the SEC schools and you're the AD, it's a huge hire. But he's made the mistake on Ron Zook, which was not his first choice, obviously. He got Urban Meyer. Muschamp hasn't worked out, but it's done. at what point do you say, okay, you know what, this didn't work, but this is not a bad hire? Will Muschamp was the coach in waiting at Texas,
right?
And everybody at the time thought, wow, what a heck of a hire by Jeremy Foley. So can't you make a good hire even though that may not work out in 4 years? Can't it just be that it didn't work?
Yeah, because like you said, he hired Urban Meyer. And I'm surprised Will Muschamp did not work out. That really surprises me. But you know what? Some of the best coordinators in the world are not good head coaches. We've seen that time and time again. They're great coordinators, but when they got to sit in that big office and do everything beyond the X's and O's, it always doesn't work out. And the downfall for Will Muschamp, he didn't hire a good offensive guy, but you can't fault him for not trying. He went through a couple of offensive coordinators, so he recognized what the problem was. And I tell you what, if every coach in America or any employee in America could go out after getting fired the way Will Muschamp did, if you talk about class act the way that he has handled getting fired and moving forward, I mean, that guy has definitely earned a lot of respect amongst a lot of people for the way he's handled it.
Don Hawes, sports director, Alabama's 13, our guest on the T-Town Bud Girls Hotline. All right, you mentioned Marshall. They're in Birmingham this week. They play UAB. What's going to happen there? And I'm not talking about the game itself. I'm talking about UAB football as a whole.
Well, today's Wednesday?
Correct.
It's Wednesday. So that game's Saturday. I'm sorry, I'm reaching under this chair. You ever have a dog where a ball rolls under a chair and the dog will just sit there and stare at you like, that ball's not going to get itself?
Yeah, except I got a 3-year-old that does
and
the same thing.
And literally, they'll sit there and stare. This dog's been staring at me since this interview started. I'm like, certainly this dog's going to turn away. Literally, barely blinked, didn't move a paw.
Yeah.
All right. Today's Wednesday. The game's Saturday. I think UAB is still going to have a football team by Saturday.
How about
but I'm
Sunday?
Not sure. That's a dumpster fire over there. And a lot of it has to do, in the eyes of the UAB people, with the board system over there in Tuscaloosa. They feel like the redheaded stepchild, which it's hard to say they haven't been treated like that. When they turned down the funding for a new stadium at UAB, they essentially said, you know what, we could care less about this football program. The facilities are awful over there. There's no doubt. Bill Clark, who's the head coach, who's turned them around, they're one win away from being bowl eligible. You know, there's an opening at Troy. Larry
Blake, I was going to ask you that next. So
yeah,
go ahead and go there.
He could. If he doesn't get the right answers, Bill Clark is a very good head coach, and I would not be shocked if he just said, you know what, I don't need this, and headed on over to Troy or somewhere else where there's going to be openings this year, because he left his alma mater, Jacksonville State, who he took to the playoffs, to go to UAB, and all of a sudden kind of got blindsided by this conversation. Yesterday at the Birmingham City Council, they were all jacked up, all these supporters, that, hey, we're all in on keeping UAB in Birmingham and keeping it as a football program. But them saying it and the board system at Alabama actually doing it are two different things. So we'll see. Time will tell.
Well, look, and look, you know me. I'm not the typical guy in Tuscaloosa bashing UAB, okay? They gave me my first football broadcast job. I've got a lot of friends there. I've got family that graduated from there. I am not someone who is sitting here either disinterested or hoping that it goes away, okay? But I wonder, and this has always been the problem, there. How many people that were all up in arms there at the city council chambers either have tickets for Saturday's game or will buy them and actually show up at Saturday's game? You know, gathering at City Hall isn't going to save that program. Gathering at Legion Field at kickoff is what they've been needing to do for that.
Yeah.
Am I wrong or right?
No, because the amount of city... The people who were at City Hall yesterday, if you put them in Legion Field, I don't know if they would fill up but a couple of rows. Seriously. I mean, and that's the big problem. They've got to get out of that stadium. That stadium is horrible. When Auburn played in the Cotton Bowl, their practice site was at SMU, which had a 30,000-seat stadium, beautiful facility. That's what UAB needs. And that was that. All those plans were rendered up, and they were ready to go, and then they got shot down. You know, but the board also shot down, if you remember, what, four or five, however many years ago it was, Jimbo Fisher was ready to take the UAB head coaching job. Talk about a flashback now that time has transpired. Jimbo Fisher was ready to take the UAB job before they gave it to Neil Callaway. The board system said no. And I heard the plane was on the way down to Baton Rouge to get him, and they turned the plane around. I'm sure you've probably heard all these stories as well.
Right.
So UAB has tried to do the right things, and at times they've had their hands tied. So it's a two-way street. There's no doubt about that. But they do need some help from the big boys up front who cut the checks. So we'll see. I would be shocked if it wasn't around. That I think it'd be bad for UAB if that football program did not get a chance, but it may not.
Last thing, and I'll let you run. Iron Bowl is next week, but is Auburn going to get things fixed between now and then, or are we likely to see what happened in Athens, Georgia, take place in Tuscaloosa?
I think we could. I would lean more towards that than a huge upset victory. That loss to Texas A&M completely stung that team. The way they lost it with those two turnovers late in the ballgame stung that team. And the fact that they were not able to put it behind them and get rid of all the cliche speak of, oh, you know what, it's in the past. We're focused on Georgia. They're a big opponent. They came out to Georgia, and that's as bad as I've seen Auburn look in a long, long time offensively. I kind of knew the defense was good. And you know what? That defense that was at Texas A&M and the one that was at Georgia is going to be the one that's in Tuscaloosa, too. They got a horrible defense this year at Auburn. And when the offense isn't going, it's an ugly game. And I think it could be as much like the 2008 Iron Bowl when Bama beat them 36-0. I think it could be like that, more so than a tight, close ball game or a come-from-behind win like they had in 2010.
Oh, man, I hope you're right. I'd like to go ahead and put that down if you don't mind and get that done.
I think their heads are up their rear ends. I really do. I just don't think. And offensively, I don't know this for a fact, but I get the sense offensively they are tired of carrying this football team because they've been carrying them all year long. Without that offense, they don't win that Ole Miss game. They get blown out in several games with that defense. You know, last year the defense was not very good in the first half, very good lockdown, shutdown defense in the second half. That's not happening